Loving Father, thank you that we can be here gathered today and to hear what you have to say through your word. Lord, we pray, open our minds as we've already prayed in that song. Help us to understand, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the wedding yesterday, one of the family came up to me and he said, if your church is anything like what we experience today, he said, I don't know why everyone in the whole community is not here. And I thought, yeah, well, that's what we want, people to know what's going on. So let's keep praying with that in mind. But what I want to do today is introduce to you a topic that we will be exploring over this term. And I really think that this topic is the key to experiencing the Christian life. You will not understand the true Christian life unless you understand what we're going to be exploring over this next term. And I want to make the possibly bold claim that as we begin to grasp and continue to grasp this very, very precious truth, that your understanding, your relationship with Jesus and also with one another who are here together with each other will deepen and will strengthen. Now, that's a big call, but I want to say that this is exactly the sorts of things that will happen. What we're going to do is we're going to explore what it means when the Bible says that we are in Christ. The other way it says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? What difference does that make? It's really interesting that the Apostle Paul, I don't know if you realized, never uses the term Christian. You'd think he would, wouldn't you? Think he'd use it all the time, but never does he use it when addressing the people of God. The term that he uses, rather than Christian, is the term in Christ. So often, if you read some of his letters, you'll say, to the saints in Camden Haven who are in Christ. He doesn't just say to you Christians there in Camden. No, he's saying something very particular about us as people who are believers, and that is that we are in Christ. Christ in you, in Colossians, he will say, the hope of glory. And I feel like we are pretty good at understanding what Christ has done for us. We're pretty clear, I think, in general, that what Christ has done on the cross and in his resurrection and how that is for us. But thinking about what union with Christ or in Christ, this is thinking about what Christ does in us. And the whole thing is this. If you've got the for us bit of Jesus, but you haven't really understood the in us bit of Jesus, you've really only got half the story. You can say, well, I know Jesus died for me. But do you know what he's doing in you? You can see how this is a very foundation of our spiritual life, what it is to be in Christ. This work that he is doing in us is actually changing us, transforming us, to be who he wants us to be. Now, one of the big questions I think everybody asks, whether they're Christian or not Christian, is that little three-word sentence, who am I? Who am I? If we're honest, I think that question consumes us. I think that we think a lot about ourselves. Yeah, we love mirrors. We love photos with us in the photo, those sorts of things. We wonder who we are. We wonder what others think of who we are. We desperately do things so that others will think something about us, whatever it might be. We present ourselves in such a way because we have something in the back of our mind saying, I want people to see me in a particular way, so I must present myself in that way. We define ourselves by our weight, don't we? How are you going? Oh, pretty good. Just hoping to lose a couple of kilos this year or whatever it might be, or put on a couple of kilos, whatever the case may be. We define ourselves by our wealth, our health, our age, more recently our sexuality, our achievements, our reputation. We are, whether you like it or not, egocentric. Ego is the Greek word for I. We are I-centric. I heard about an amusement ride, the concept of an amusement ride in America, where you entered, you had you went into one room and you had various photos taken of you in different positions. You know, take a photo like this and like this, all these sorts of things. And then as you go through the next rooms, in each room you would see something like a great rally for the new prime minister or president or whatever it is. But it would be you. And people would be cheering for you. Neville, Neville, or whatever it might be. And then as you went into the next room, there was you receiving an Oscar. And everyone's clapping for you. They're saying, wow, Darren, Darren, Darren. And then you might have gone into the next room and you were triumphing in some sports event and everyone's cheering for you. And then you went into the next room, which was the gift shop, and you could buy anything with your name in it, picture on it. The guy who suggested this, he wanted to call it the ego trip, a ride about you. And he said these words, what's everyone's favourite subject? Themselves. I think each generation expresses this who am I question differently. And we're able to spot it in a new generation, what they're doing, but we don't often spot it in our generation, what we've done similar. I think today we have more of an online self, don't we? We have a digital self. So it's so important for us to present digitally how we are going. The desperate desire to have someone press like. Oh, I feel so much better about myself. Someone liked me. And isn't it revealed in the most classic thing that people do now? The selfie. So let's just do a selfie. Here we go. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to put this around. Here we go. I can't get you all in, but I'm in it, so that's the important thing. Woo! The selfie. Now, if I leave my phone down at home for too long, like 3 seconds, my daughter gets it, and there will be 27 photos of her pulling faces, and then suddenly it'll be my home screen, it'll be her doing this, you know, or something like that. Now, selfies are fun, that's okay, but at the same time, it actually revealing something about our psyche, isn't it? What's going on for us? We need someone to press like. I need to know who I am. And I think there is this real truth that we don't know who we are until we know whose we are. We don't know who we are until we know whose we are. And Paul, in another letter that he wrote called Colossians, he said things like this. He said, all things were made through Jesus, but not only that, also for Jesus. Through him and for him. And now that's an incredible thing for us to hear and understand. Because I was not only made by him or through him, but I was made for him. So in some sense, I will never really understand who I am until I know who I was made for. And that is the Lord Jesus. It's quite incredible. And the way that we connect with that Jesus, because you're thinking, well, great, thanks for telling me that I'm made for him. How do I connect with him? What do I do? Do I close my eyes and have some strange position and lift up my hand? What? No. The Bible says faith. Faith in the word of God. To hear. So we receive Jesus when we receive the teaching about Jesus. That's how we receive him. It is by faith. And when we believe, the Bible says we are made one with him. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says these words, "You were included in Christ, made one with him when you heard the word of truth and believed." That's it. Made one with him. Faith activates God's for you work in Jesus, but what it also activates is God's in you work in Jesus. It is all by faith. And I'd like to suggest that that work in you that God is doing can probably be summed up in one word, and that is blessing. So if, as we're reading through there, Ephesians chapter 1, you will have heard that he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Let me read chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now, can we just make sure we slow down and read that sentence again? Chapter 1, verse 3 of Ephesians. Because I reckon I could read it differently and you wouldn't have even noticed the difference. I could have said this: "Blessed be our God and Father, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Would you have noticed the difference there? What was missing? "Blessed be our God and Father, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Now, if you're not scratching your head and saying something's wrong with that, Nathan, it's possible that you've not understood Christianity. Let me read the verse. Listen closely to what's different. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Now, I hope I'm able to communicate this because I think it's super important. What we need to see is that God is first and foremost the Father of Jesus Christ. That is how he is defined in his fatherhood. He's not just, oh, he's everybody's father. Well, no, that's not really what the Bible says. Neither can we necessarily say he is our father until we are in his son. When we are in his son, then we can call him father. Our gospel can be weak when we assume that God is just everybody's father, before seeing that he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. And there is, I believe, great joy in the knowledge that we have been adopted. And there's very little joy in the if you think, oh, well, it's just assumed that we're all his children. We are only his children in Christ. Christ is the one whom he loves. Christ is the one whom he has set his affection on. So if you are in Christ, then you are the one he loves. If you are in Christ, then you are the one he has set his affection on. This is the sort of thing we're going to delve into over this term. And if I'm honest with you, I would have to say that I sort of feel when we talk about this stuff that I'm in a pool where I can't quite feel the bottom with my feet. I'm a little bit out of my depth. But it's wonderful because there's so much there to explore. So one prominent theologian from a long time ago, who's now dead, said this. First, we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. Therefore, to share with us what he has received from the Father, he had to become ours and to dwell within us. For this reason, he is called our head and the firstborn among many brethren. We also, in turn, are said to be grafted into him and to put on Christ. For, as I have said, all that he possesses is nothing to us until we grow into one body with him. And it is true that we obtain this by faith. This is what it is to be one with Christ, to share all that he has. All that he has and all that he is and all that he's won for us is only known when we are made one with him, and that is by faith. Well, I mentioned selfies and posts and Facebook before. I think, you know, one of the things that I often... Can you just, if you're happy to admit this, who's on Facebook? Who's got Facebook? Not who's on Facebook at the moment, but who's... Okay. You know, that's about the same proportion as the 8 a.m.ers, righto? Just quite a bit over 50%. One of the things that you do on the internet is if you want to say, I just went to a party, hashtag awesome. Or just went to the beach, hashtag big surf or whatever, that sort of thing. And one of the ones that often comes up is hashtag blessed. Family in Hawaii on holidays, hashtag blessed. Just down the beach with the family, hashtag blessed. Out having coffee by myself, hashtag. The Bible is saying that if you are in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Which means this. Let me try and illustrate it with the life of Elizabeth Elliot and Jim Elliot. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Jim Elliot was a missionary who had a concern with a little bunch of his mates for a tribe called the Alca Indians in South America. And what he decided to do was to try and reach these Alca Indians who were totally isolated. And he thought what he would do is he would fly his aeroplane over and throw down gifts for them. And as he threw down gifts, the Alca Indians would take it. They would see this as something good, and they would, you know, indicate some sort of thanks or whatever it might be. Eventually, they thought, we'll be able to land, we'll be able to go down, we'll be able to connect with these people, and we'll be able to tell them about Jesus. And so they did that. They landed. Elizabeth Elliot was at home on the radio. Are you okay? Yeah, we're landing. Well, the story sort of went on like that. There was at one point where Elizabeth said, are you okay? There was no reply. Are you okay? There was no reply. Are you okay? There was no reply. After some time, they thought, we need to go. They flew over, and as they looked down, they saw an aeroplane parked on the beach and 5 dead bodies. The Alca Indians had killed all of them. Now, here is the crazy thing about being blessed in Christ. Elizabeth Elliot said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Alca Indians. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus. So she turns up there. And however this happened, the details, there's a lot of details there, but they connect with her. She learns their language. She writes out their language for them, line by line, talking about the scriptures to them. She does all this work. And then on one day, there's this tremendous storm. The river floods and washes away all her work and destroys it all. Years and years of work. And yet she says, how blessed I am. Hashtag blessed. And do you see, when you're in Christ, it doesn't matter whether it rained on your wedding day or not, you're hashtag blessed. It doesn't matter if you're in Hawaii or not, because you're in Christ, you're hashtag blessed. And it's a blessing that nothing at all can take away, because the Bible also talks about being dead in Christ. You can be dead, but still in Christ. That's why you're blessed. And we need to think of ourselves the way the Bible describes it. And I think for me personally, and in my experience, we find it very, very hard to believe, really, that we are what the Bible says we are. We find it difficult before we became Christians, because the Bible says, did you know you're actually sinful and under condemnation and you need a saviour? And if you were to die outside of Christ unforgiven, there would only be hell. That God is your enemy. You'd be thinking, I can't believe that. And yet when you come to Christ and be forgiven, that all changes. You move from being in category a sinner to in category a saint. And you're right with him. And my experience is, it's very difficult to convince people who aren't Christians that they're sinners and need a saviour. And it's very difficult to convince Christians that they're saved and they're right with God. You're blessed in Christ. And what Satan does, one of his key things, or maybe it's his only thing, he's into identity theft. I don't know if you've ever had your stuff stolen and someone's tried to take on your identity. Well, see, this is what Satan does. He tries to tell you you're not in Christ. You've somehow, it doesn't work for you. You're somehow some exception. Yes, you said, I want to believe, I want to trust in you, Lord Jesus. But no, he didn't hear that or something. He tells those lies. He does not want you to see yourself in Christ. That's why we must keep telling ourselves that we are, and we must also keep telling one another that we are in Christ. This is our fundamental identity. My identity, my joy, my fulfillment is found by being in Christ. In fact, I am not truly me until I find myself in Christ. I don't know who I am until I know who I am for and that I am in him. All of this that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 there is not just for the goal that I finally know who I am, but there is this chorus that I find out who I am and then live to his praise and glory. See, the great need of our church, the great need of the church, is not some new strategy. It's new people. New people who've realized who they are in Christ. It's people like you and people like me realizing, is that who I am in Christ? My prayer is that as we move through this series and think about this truth, that we will begin to say both individually and together, along with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Jesus Christ lives in me. That's where we're headed. Hashtag blessed. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are totally swimming in the deep end, and it is amazing. Lord, we love it that we can't touch the bottom, that we love it that there is so much to grasp, that you offer a fullness, but that you've already given a fullness. And it's for us now to discover that fullness. to be full, that fullness that is found only in Christ. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray, Lord, for every single person in our church, that you would help each one of us to come to a deeper understanding that it's all about Jesus, and that we would understand what that means for our every single day. And we give you thanks, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.